Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Maybe it's a day-by-day thing, but the God of eternity is the God of every single moment of your life working in and through you, saying, don't worry about that bad situation. I got that. I'm going to use that to help you out. Oh, that great situation, you really love those, but you can also learn from those things as well. So I'm going to use that for your good, because all the good, the bad, the chaos and all that stuff, he can funnel that stuff to where it just turns you into looking more and more like Jesus. Nobody prays for the bad stuff.
There's been times in my life that have left me wondering, what just happened there? And there's other times when surprise moments have caught me so off guard that I start to question God, saying, why me? Well, today's message from Pastor James invites you and I to refocus on who exactly is in control, God. We might not understand why he allows certain things to happen, but we can be assured that he knows how each piece of our life puzzle goes together. Our job is to trust that he loves us and is for us no matter what happens. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Romans chapter 8 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
He's corralling them. He's bringing them all together by his sovereign will. So whatever these things are, he's rustling up all these things, the good, the bad, the challenging, the difficult, the sweet, the pleasant, the stuff. And he's corralling it all together because it's all part of his plan. It's all part of his plan. So, this is just a deep verse. And we know God causes everything to work together. He corrals it all together. For what though? For the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You love God, he's got a plan for you. Part of his plan for you is to work everything out within your life for his good. Now, this is one of those verses that gets shared quite a bit. If you've ever have dealt with anybody going through grief, you may have been one who are like, oh, well, let me share with you this verse. This verse is true. This verse is, it's beautiful and all of that. This verse is not always quote unquote helpful for people going through difficult times. Okay. So if somebody comes to you and they're like, man, I'm really struggling. Oh, well, don't you know? God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his plan and purpose. And they're like, okay, that's cool. Yes, I know that verse. I actually pray that verse all the time. This can be a hard verse to deal with if you're in the midst of trials, if you're in the midst of hardship. Because yeah, I see it. I read it. I know what it says. But man, the reality of it is like, well, where is this at though? Like, there's no doubt in my mind or my heart. This is absolutely true, but I have found myself in situations where the pain is that real and the pain is that deep to where it's like, okay, Lord, I know what your word says, but I'm not feeling this right now. Like, so where? When? When does this happen? And he says, just hold on, because I got a plan for you, and you may not see it. You may not see the good now, but you will see the good. You may not see it now. You will get through whatever storm you're going through. You may not see the good in it now, but there will come a day where you can look back and you're like, man, that verse is absolutely amazing, because it is absolutely true. Hindsight's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, but it's called hindsight for a reason. You look back and you're like, oh yeah. I think that this is going to happen for each and every one of us when you stand before the Lord Jesus. And you look back and you're like, oh, I get it now. I get it. Because the goal, the ultimate goal for you and what we see, we're going to see this in just one second. The ultimate goal for you and for myself is that you look more like Jesus. He's the standard, not whoever your hero is, not for whatever Bible teacher you love. They're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. He's the standard. God is not trying to form and fashion us into so-and-so. He's trying to mold us into the image of Christ. So we are Christ-like. That's the goal for you. So he goes on. He's got this everything, the good, the bad, to those who love God. And just before I move on to verse 29, that phrase, those who love God, that's a common Old Testament phrase. And it is speaking of those who throw themselves wholeheartedly into his service. It's technically what that means in the Old Testament. When that reference is used in the Old Testament, it's always speaking of those who are like just completely abandoned themselves over to God. Like, I'm all in. I'm all in. That's what it means to love God. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm surrendered to you. Completely surrendered to you. So now let's get into some of these. Verse 29. We love 28. Everybody loves 28, right? So you got to go through 29 as well, though. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn or the first fruits among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, or justified, he gave them his glory. Right. So what we have is call, justification, glorification, but it all starts back in verse 29. God knew his people in advance. God knew his people in advance. And I know this is like tricky sometimes. It depends on what theological aisle you sit on and all that stuff. But yeah, it is no surprise to God who follows him or not. It's not. Okay. This word know, this foreknew, he foreknew, that's thorough knowledge of one person by another. This speaks of a very intimate knowledge of somebody. Adam knew Eve, and they had a baby. It's very intimate. So before everything, the foundation of the world, God knew you. He knew you. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5 says this, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you. This is God to Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. So before anything ever existed, God already had the foreknowledge of who you are and that you would be his. He knew. He knew his people in advance. That has to be true, okay? He has to have that knowledge. He has to. Or then his knowledge is limited if he doesn't have that knowledge. Right? Makes sense. He's God. He's not surprised by, and we talk about this a lot, and I don't mean to use oversimplistic terms here, but my goodness, he is never surprised by who gets saved. Like, heaven isn't like, wasn't expecting that one, right? They know this stuff. God knows this. Does that mean that you have no choice in the matter? That's not what it's saying at all. But Paul is addressing Christians, and he's saying, God knew you before you existed. He knew you in advance. It says that he also chose you. So he has this intimate knowledge of who you are, this foreknowledge. And then it means that, then he says, and he chose them to be like his son. Or he has predestined them to be like his son. Predestined means appointed in advance to become like Jesus in character. And it's all part of his plan. He has this foreknowledge, and then he predestines. And then there's this call that we're about to go through. And it's all part of his plan for you. His plan for you, and he loves you, and he knows you, and he actually wants to use you, which is incredible. And it's not even just that, you know, we say this a lot too, but Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave. And yes, the end result of that is that you get to be forever with him, but there's so much more to it than just that. I mean, he didn't just die and raise from the grave just so you could go to heaven. That's an incomplete view of what this whole thing is. He died and rose again, so yes, that you could be with him forever, be made right with God, but so then that he can put you into his service and that he can use you because he has a plan for you. And he loves you, and he knows you. And this intimate knowledge that he has of you, what's so amazing about that is kind of like what Charles Spurgeon says. He's like, I'm so glad he picked me before he knew me, in one sense. Like, he picked me then until he gave me a chance to kind of reveal myself here on this earth and live out my life, because I don't know if he would have picked me, right? This is Charles Spurgeon who says this. But he's like, I'm just glad that God already knew that. He knew that in advance. And you can wrestle with this stuff. It's fun to go into this and like, well, you know, then who does this apply to? Who does this not apply to? And all that stuff. Here's the main takeaway is this. God is in control. And if you're his kid, well, he knew that about you. He chose you. He called you. He did all the work for you. Because every step of the way of your salvation is God doing it. Okay? So from the foreknowledge to the predestination to the call to, sanctification is not even mentioned within this. It's not even mentioned within this part. But all the way to the end of glorification, it's God who's doing the work. It's God who's doing the work. Foreknowledge or foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Like that's the great timeline of your salvation story. And it started before anything ever existed. You need to understand this. Because when you close out Romans chapter 8, this is the good foundation that everything else can get built upon. Because at no point, like, you have no control, in one sense, okay, of even being born. You have no say, right? There's no time where you existed, so to speak, where, like, you could negotiate with God of, like, okay, if you could just let me be born now, that'd be cool, right? No, it's like, he already knew you were going to exist. And he's the one who fashions you and creates you, forms you inside of that womb. He already knew that. He foreknew that. Then he has predestined you. He's got a plan for you. He wants to make you into his son's image, character speaking. He wants you to look more and more like Jesus. That's the goal. And so there's this call that goes out. You hopefully were, you know, the Holy Spirit is alongside you, and then all this crazy stuff we can get into later, but there's this call that has to be answered, and this is an effectual call is what this is. Not a general call, but this is a call that has an effect, meaning you surrender to him, and then you start go all in for him, so to speak. And it's a call for salvation. Sanctification is a part of that calling. Justified. We've already gone through that in the book of Romans. Where whatever you've done in the past, whatever you've done today, whatever you're going to do tomorrow, justified. The price has been paid. It's been paid. Doesn't mean you can keep going doing whatever you want to do. Okay? You have to grow up. You got to grow up. You got to say no to certain things and start saying yes to the right things. But that's sanctification, and that's not even, again, that's not even listed in this small little section we're going through. But the end result is to be glorified. And that's given this body that is no longer subject to fleshly desires. It's no longer subject to the things that this being part of a fallen world, that this thing is breaking down all the time. A glorified body is a brand new body as God intended it. You can just go back into Genesis chapter 1. A glorified body where it's, you're not, the pressures of this current world will have no effect on it. In fact, this current world will be gone. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But the goal is glorified. That's what he wants for you. And the whole process to get you to glorified, there's going to be things thrown at you. Good things, bad things, easy things, difficult things. Everything's going to be thrown at you. And God can use all those things to work out for your good. At the end of the day, quote unquote, like not today, maybe today a little bit, maybe it's a day-by-day thing, but the God of eternity is the God of every single moment of your life working in and through you, saying, don't worry about that bad situation. I got that. I'm going to use that to help you out. Oh, that great situation, you really love those. But you can also learn from those things as well. So I'm going to use that for your good. Because all the good, the bad, the chaos and all that stuff, he can funnel that stuff to where it just turns you into looking more and more like Jesus. Nobody prays for the bad stuff. You shouldn't be praying for the bad stuff, right? Nobody's that crazy, right? Like, We're not asking like, Lord, I'm feeling a little weak in my faith. Maybe you can throw some trials and tribulation my way so I can get stronger. I don't think I've ever prayed that. The closest I've gotten to praying something like that is praying for more patience, which I found out was a mistake because that just revealed I don't have any. And then it caused me other sin issues, such as anger, but unjust anger. There's righteous anger and there's unjust anger. But we're not asking for God. But guess what? You live in a fallen world. Bad things are going to happen. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you got something wrong or like, or I missed something. That's not always the case. Maybe it's the Lord allowing something to happen in your life because he wants to transform you into the final product. One of our best case scenarios concerning the Old Testament is Job. I mean, the whole story starts off with Job was a righteous man. Job was a good guy. And then Satan's like, well, he's only good because you're so good to him. Take away some stuff. Let me have access into his life. And then we'll see if he's still worshiping you. We'll see if he's still praising you. We'll see how good he is. Just give me some access. And God's like, okay. Which is like, no, please don't ever say that, Lord. Like, no, like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, just don't kill him. And he lost everything. And that didn't just happen once. That happened multiple times. And then he was surrounded by a bunch of knuckleheads, man. These friends that are like, just read the story and you're like, man, you guys aren't really good friends at all. You come with all the wisdom and intellect and stuff, but it's like, no, but like, even his wife's like, curse God and die. Like, dude, what are you doing? Just get it over with. Clearly you've sinned. Clearly you've done something wrong. Because what? That's our mentality. If I'm doing right, God's blessing me. And if somehow the Lord isn't blessing me, quote unquote, then that must mean I've gotten something wrong or they got something wrong. Maybe they got everything right. And God's just like, I know stuff you don't know and I need you to get stronger. The ultimate thing of this, the biggest takeaway of this is God is in control. He is absolutely in control of your life and he knows what to allow in and he knows what to take out. And he knows even whether it be a good thing or a bad thing, he understands because he sees the big picture, this thread will help complete the picture. Even whether or not you like the thread, doesn't matter. Whatever that thread may be, it's essential for the big picture. And he's working. He's working. And please don't lose sight of that. And that's a hard thing to bear in mind in the midst of trials and tribulations and difficulties. We oftentimes will cry out to God, okay, God, where are you? Where are you? But please understand that his silence doesn't mean that he's absent. It doesn't mean that he's bailed on you. In fact, he has no plan to bail on you. He's working something in and through you. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know how that's going to play out throughout the rest of this life. Some of you have gone through tremendous tragedies, actually losing people. And I can't even understand, like, that's a hard one to walk. That's a hard thing to walk through and to apply this verse to that situation. And there's no fault. There's no, like, I don't want you to feel bad for, like, reading through this verse and then you have, like, maybe lost somebody that you're really close to. Like the Lord is taking them on. And then somebody comes along and is like, well, don't you know? Hey, God works all things out for the good of those who loved and, you know, all that stuff, right? Like, that's not what you want to hear right then. But that verse still is true. I want you to understand, if you felt like this, that's understandable. Man, if you're walking through a tragedy and you're like, but God, like, I know what your word says, but I don't see this in my life, and I certainly don't see it right now. It's okay to be there. It's okay to walk through that. That's part of life. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to understand everything that he allows into your life or takes away from your life. You're not going to understand all that. But what we know is that he loves us and that he has a plan. He's not going to abandon you. I mean, just think back to that Ephesians 4 or 5. Like, part of his plan was to adopt you as one of his own. And he's not a flake. Remember, he foreknew you. He knew every single thing about your life, personality, all that stuff, before you even came into existence. So if you think, and if you don't believe me, just read the rest of Romans chapter 8. There's nothing that happens in your life that can separate you from his love. Like, he's got you in his hands. So even in the difficult times, and I say this because I don't think we talk about this enough within church, because sometimes it's just like, and sometimes we're just, I don't know, maybe we know too much for our own good or whatever, but when people are hurting, you know, we just come alongside and like, oh, you know, hey, that's life. That's life, right? It's a horrible counselor, by the way. Don't go to that person, but that's life. Well, no, that's hard. I'm sorry. That's difficult. I don't understand why God would allow that to happen in your life. I don't get that, but I can sympathize. I can be compassionate towards you and say, man, I don't get it either, but I'll cry with you. I'll cry with you. I don't have good answers for you. I can quote you scriptures, and that is truth. But I think sometimes within the church, people just need to be like, can you just like cry with me? Don't tell me it's going to be okay. Down deep, we know it's going to be okay. Here we know that God works all things for the good to those who love him and are called according to his plan and his purpose. You can bank on that. You can go all in on that truth. You can go all in on that truth. He loves you. He cares about you. Whatever you're going through, he will get you through that. There's no storm that has ever gotten Jesus off track. Just read the Gospels. Wherever he intended to get to, and wherever he intended his disciples to get to, they got there. They got there. Let me read you one last little cross-reference here. This is from the book of Jude. Jude, verse 24. It says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. And I use that just as that to go along with that glorification element of it, that the Lord has you and he's going to keep you through this whole process, and he's working on you and working through you, and he's got a plan, and it's to present you. You can even go to Ephesians chapter 5. He wants to present you as a pure and spotless bride. He's got you. Trust him. Hold on to him, man, and just lean heavy on Jesus. Just like, okay, I don't know where you guys are at. I don't know what you've been going through, but if it's a difficult thing that surpasses your knowledge and understanding or whatever, then just maybe just go back into verse, 26. Say, all right, Holy Spirit, I need you to take over. I need you to handle this one, because I got no words for this story. I got no words for this little prayer time. I'm out. I got nothing left. So you're not alone. You're really not alone. You have a Heavenly Father that you can call Abba, which we've already gone through. You have Jesus, who took all of our sins, your sins, my sins, upon himself on the cross, conquered sin and death, rose from the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on behalf of you, preparing a place for you. He's at work in your life. Then you have the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside of you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he is working in and through you, even when you don't know what to say. He's got your back. The Lord loves you. He cares about you. He's got a plan for your life. It may not go how you think it's supposed to go, or your plan or whatever, but he is working on you, and he can turn all the junk into a beautiful thing. He just can. He's a God who brings beauty from ashes, and he's not done doing that.
Hurting? Do you feel lost? We'd like to invite you to hop on the nearest device and type breadforthebroken.com in the search bar. This will lead you to the ministry outreach program of Calvary Galveston in Galveston, Texas. Once you're there, please click on the contact tab at the top of the page to contact us through email. This is a safe and secure way to let us know how we can pray for you and support you in whatever situation you find yourself in. It would be our pleasure and honor to pray for you. We want you to find the same hope and new life in Jesus that we found for ourselves. That website once again was breadforthebroken.com. While you're there, check out all of the other messages from Pastor James Grizzle by clicking on the listen link at the top of the page. Are you close by? We invite you to join us Sunday mornings or Thursday evenings. If you're anything like me, that may sound intimidating, but we want you to know that we're a simple, uncomplicated, and laid-back group just trying to follow Jesus and encourage one another in the faith. go to our website, breadforthebroken.com, to get all the information you need to come. Would you consider partnering with us in spreading the gospel message by giving to this ministry? If your answer's yes, our website has information on how you can do that. We promise it's a quick and easy process. Before we go, we do want to say thank you to all of our listeners, both new and old, for being part of this ministry. We trust that you'll be back again for more, here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.